I have nothing to fear. I think I'm seeing it clear. How do you think I get here? Nothing is as it appears. That's from an up-and-coming young poet named Luke Pinker. False evidence appearing real. I wanted to share, after they sung that song, I thought I'd like to share that poem with you. Luke is very good at writing poetry. We're on part two of Everyday Heroes. What makes a hero? Psalm 16:3 says, "The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them." The godly people in the land. I told you last week we have three qualities that make a hero. There's a lot more, but I believe these are the three main qualities. And we talked about two of them last week. And the first one was real heroes stand alone for what is right. I read out of 2 Samuel 23, one of my favorite verses of all, or chapters of all. He talked about one of David's mighty men, Shema. And said he stood alone after his men had deserted him, and his hand was almost welded to the sword. He had fought so long, and he defeated the Philistine army just standing alone. Just standing alone. You remember Exodus 23, it says, don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. Don't follow the crowd. Romans 12 says, don't model your behavior on the contemporary world, but the renewing of your mind transform you so that you may discern the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and mature. Sometimes, everyday heroes, sometimes you got to stand alone for what's right. Sometimes you'll find yourself alone. The second quality of an everyday hero is this. Real heroes make sacrifices for others. Matthew 20 said, whoever wants to be great in this world must become a servant. Sometimes we get mixed up between celebrities and heroes. The difference is celebrities sacrifice for themselves. Celebrities sacrifice for their fame. Heroes sacrifice for others. For others. Sometimes it's people we don't even know. And you don't have to be huge. Because Jesus, even though Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, he reminded us in Matthew 10, says, even if you give a cup of water to the least of these, you're a hero. You're a hero. I told y'all, and I finished it up with Proverbs 31. And by the way, Proverbs 31 is where it describes the woman that I believe will marry my son. That I'm praying for a Proverbs 31 lady. And if you folks are fathers and mothers of sons, go to Proverbs 31, look at verse 10, come down. And I believe that's who you ought to be praying for your son to marry. It's that kind of lady. But Proverbs 31 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Protect the rights of all people. Protect the rights of the poor and needy. And I challenged you last week, where are you? Where are you serving on a regular basis? On a regular basis. Where are you serving the poor and the needy on a regular basis? Whether it's once a week, once a day, once a month. Where are you serving? If you're not, then get to it. Get to it. Number three. We're just going to talk about this one all day today. Real heroes take risk for God. For all you blank filler enters, that's all you got. Real heroes take risks for God. You know, the more I study every one of us, God has put in this natural desire to take risk. And I know some of you, like my wife, said, I'm not a risk taker. Yeah, you are. There's this natural desire. It's why we gamble. It's why some of us like to play games of chance. It's why we like sports. It's why we mountain climb. It's why we swim in the ocean. See, because to me, you're taking a big risk in the ocean because everything in there has got teeth. I'll go in about my knees. Anything above my knees, I don't want them biting on. Amen? Angie goes way out there. But but it's why we do some of the things we do. We have this nature to take risk in some way, some shape, some form. Now, you may have suppressed it down a little bit out of fear like I have swimming in the ocean. I mean, I'll get out there, but I ain't getting out there. But you may have tamped it down out of anxiety, but by nature, you and I have this ability to take risk. It's just part of being a human being. You know, and real heroes are not afraid of going out on a limb because they know that's where the fruit is. Real heroes are not afraid to do that. Real heroes defy the odds. Real heroes risk failure. Real heroes risk rejection. Real heroes risk criticism in order to go after the dream. Real heroes risk criticism in order to serve other people. Real heroes risk rejection in order to be who God called them to be. Now, a lot of people take foolish risks for selfish reasons all the time. And they might say, well, I'm risking this for God, but in reality, as you dig deeper, they're risking it for their own benefit. But why do we do this? Why are we afraid to take risk? I believe there's a couple of reasons as I looked at it this week. Write these down just somewhere on the outline. There's a couple of reasons. I think the first reason that we're afraid to take risk is this. We want to be comfortable. I think we want to be comfortable, don't we? Let me get a drink of water while y'all write that down. Because it's uncomfortable stretching yourself, isn't it? To do something. You ever stretched a muscle? That's real uncomfortable. When I first started doing CrossFit, I hadn't exercised in 30 years. First 2 or 3 months, I had to choose the toilet I went to. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Because if and it have to be, we'll call it number two, where I had to sit down, I had to have something to help me up that I could pull up. Because I had stretched that muscle and I had became uncomfortable. It hurts stretching a muscle. And I believe that's sometimes why we don't take risks is because of the pain. Because it hurts. It's uncomfortable. Second thing is this. We're just afraid of being hurt. We don't take risks because we're just afraid of it. We're afraid of failure. Let me tell you something from a man who's failed many times. Failure is not fatal. Failure is not final. You're never a failure until you give up. That's when you're a failure. Failure is not even as bad as the fear of failure. I believe the fear of failure is worse than failure itself because all you think about is this fear of failure. And so fear of failure is far worse. And I got to tell you something. If you fail, you just fail. You just fail. Well, this has become one of my favorite verses. I know I say this every week, but I'm telling you, every time you open this up, you'll find a favorite verse. A different one, it seems like. It says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. You know what I love about that verse? Because it tells me, it says, even good people mess up. Even good people mess up. And it kind of, it almost lets me off the hook. Because I'm basically a good guy. But even I, it's okay if I mess up. Even good people mess up. But it says he rises again. He rises again. Even good people fall. Nobody goes through life with an unbroken string of successes. Amen? Nobody does that. You risk, sometimes it pays off. You risk, sometimes it don't. But even in the times it don't, God will use that. Every part of your story can be used for God's glory. Even the parts that you don't want to share, even the parts that you don't want to talk about, every part of your story can be used for God's glory. That's the power of the cross. That's the power that we're all trophies of God's grace, every one of us. That's power. But we still sometimes back away from risk. So one of my questions this week is for you is, what risk have you known that God wanted you to take? You know. What risk have you known? It might be little risk, like go to a person that you know and ask for forgiveness. It might be another risk of going to a person and offering forgiveness to them. Those are risks. But I want you to write this down. I read it somewhere. I wished I'd made it up. I didn't. A safe life is a wasted life. A safe life is a wasted life. Luke 19:26. Risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. Play it safe and you'll end up holding the bag. I like it in that Message translation. Because it tells me the losers are not the people who took the risk and failed. The loser is the person who never took the risk. That's the loser. That's the loser. Because if what you have done or if what you want to do is done in love and done for the glory of God and done in faith, you cannot be considered a failure. You know why? Because the Bible says love never fails. The Bible promises love never fails. If you take a risk out of love, you cannot be considered a failure. Because why? Love never fails. Love never fails. So somebody calls you a failure, just say, love never fails. Love never fails. You know, here even at North Point, we probably did more things that didn't work than did. We're not afraid to fail. You know, we take risk because we believe risk is just another word for faith. You know, and one of my personal heroes in the Bible is the Apostle Paul, because almost single-handedly he spread Christianity across the Roman Empire. We talk about him a lot in our elders' meeting. I mean, he took enormous risk, and not for his own personal benefit, but for the benefit of other people. Enormous risk. He was constantly taking the risk just to spread the good news, and literally they couldn't stop him. Let's look at his testimony. This is his testimony in 2 Corinthians 11:23. Paul said this: I've worked harder, been put in jail more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again and again. Listen to this. 5 different times I was given 39 lashes. Can you imagine what his back looked like? I mean, 195 scars. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned with rocks. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I drifted in the open sea all night and the whole next day. I've traveled many weary miles and often been in great danger from flooded rivers, from robbers and from my own people, as well as from others. I faced grave dangers from mobs in cities and from death in the deserts and in stormy season from men who claim to be brothers in Christ but are not. I've lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. Often I've been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. And often I have shivered with cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. That's an enormous amount of risk. He lived several lifetimes in one life. What in the world motivated Paul to take all these risks and to put up with all that pain? What motivated him to do? He tells us in the next verse. Look here. Why do you think I keep risking my neck in this dangerous work? I look death in the face practically every day I live. Do you think I'd do this if I wasn't convinced of your resurrection and mine as guaranteed by the resurrected Jesus? Do you think I was just trying to act heroic? Not on your life. It's the resurrection that undergirds what I do say and the way I live. Son, that's strong. Because here's the secret, he says. Get your eyes off the problem and get your focus on eternity. Quit looking at the problem. Because Paul says, I know death ain't the end of it. Paul says, I know I'll be rewarded in heaven. Paul says, I know that this life ain't all there is. That this life is preparation for eternity. This life is a test, and God is testing you and me. You and me. He's saying, will you sacrifice for other people? Will you stand up when it's unpopular? Will you stand up when it's the right thing to do? Will you take risk for God's glory? Will you take risk for your own growth? Will you take risk to help other people? Look at 1 Corinthians. Let's keep on reading on the next side. If we never live again after we die, then we might as well go have ourselves a good time. Let us eat, drink, and be merry. What's the difference? For tomorrow we die. And that ends everything. Look what Paul said. Don't be fooled by those who say such things. Amen. Don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled by that. I'm going to tell you about some of you guys that I've been talking to lately. Don't look at the person next to you when I describe this kind of people. Some of you have just seemed like you felt the joys dried up in your Christian life. You're not as close to God as you used to be. You remember when you first came to Christ, man, you was full of energy. Walked around smiling all the time. You just filled up with enthusiasm. You had a fire about you, didn't you? When you first came to Christ. But today, the truth is, you're just bored with your life. You've been in my office. You're just bored with your life. You might even be bored with God. Probably even be bored with the church. But you're bored with Christian life. Guys, I want to tell you, I meet bored Christian men and women all the time. And I find out it's always the same thing. You can write this down. It's because they ain't risking anything. They ain't risking anything. They just splashing around in the kiddie pool. I mean, if you're bored, you got a bored Christian life, you ain't diving off the board. You still in the kiddie pool. I'm telling you, you got to jump in the deep end. Get out of the kiddie pool. I don't know exactly what you need to do to break out of this boredom of your life. Not exactly, but I know one of the things is going to be involved taking a risk for the benefit of the glory of God. It's going to involve taking risk. I'm telling you. I've thought about this all week. I hope Sarah and Luke can stand up when I go on to meet my Lord in heaven and they can say, my dad was a risk taker. I hope that they can say, my dad was a risk taker until the day he died. I hope till right before I die, I can look at him and say, Rusty, I got one more risk in me. I got one more. I hope that Luke can still say it as he says now, my dad is a go-getter. I hope that Sarah can say, my dad is willing to stand up alone when everyone else walked away. I hope that my wife can say, he was willing to sacrifice for other people. He was willing to take risks that other people weren't willing to take. I hope that I can stand up for you if you go before me and say, he did the best with what he could and what he had for Jesus Christ today. I hope I can say that. Here's what I want to tell you. Everybody, a lot of people in here got kids. Some of you pregnant, fixing to have them. Are you modeling these three characters for your children? Are you modeling these three? We can do all the books in the world, but are you taking risks for other people? Are you sacrificing for other people? Are you standing for what's right for other people? Are you modeling that? Those three qualities. I want to tell you something. Don't make the fatal mistake of living for your comfort. You were not put on this planet to live for, to be comfortable. This life is a test. And there is more to life than here and now. What you do with your life today will determine the rewards that you have in eternity. It will. Mark 8:35, where are we at? It says, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. You will be an everyday hero, a true hero. The Bible says that our rewards and responsibilities that we'll have in heaven will be dependent upon how much we stood for the truth, how much we sacrificed for others, and how much we risked for God. Let's look at the parable of the talents. Jesus tells the story of an owner, and he has these three servants, and he gives them a certain amount of talents. Talents was another word for money, which is where we get our word talent now. It's where it all comes from. And he gave each servant some money and told him to invest it while he was gone. He was going away on a trip. He gave one guy 10 talents, and he said, invest that while I'm gone. Gave another guy 5, and he gave another guy 1. Well, the guy with the 10 talents, he took it, and he invested, and he doubled his money. The guy with the 5, he invested, and he doubled that. The guy with the 1 was scared. He was scared, and he buried his 1 talent and done nothing with it. He gained no interest, no reward to give to his master when he returned. He was afraid. He was more afraid of losing what he had than multiplying what his master had given him. He was afraid of losing it. And so I want to ask you, is that true of your life? Because what God has given you is God's gift to you. And what you do with it is your gift to God. Are you sitting on it? Are you just burying it? Afraid to use it? Are you? Are you not investing in the kingdom? Here's the rewards. Look at Matthew 25:28. Ooh, take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most. I like that. Give it to the one who risked the most. Here it is, right here. Anyone who sacrifices home, family, fields, whatever, because of me, will get it back 100 times over. Not to mention the considerable bonus of eternity. That should be eternity. That's my bad. Eternity. You and I, we will be rewarded in heaven exponentially. I love that word, exponentially. For standing up for what's right. Standing alone. We will be rewarded exponentially for sacrificing for other folks. We will be rewarded exponentially. Let's say that word with me, exponentially. I know that's probably not how you pronounce it, but that's the way I like to pronounce it. Exponentially for taking risk, for the glory of Christ and for the good of other people. Amen. That's all I got to say about that. Let's pray. My Lord, my God, I thank you for the model of Apostle Paul. Some folks might think he's bragging about what all he went through. He's just telling. That's his testimony. What motivated him was the love you have for him. And that this life is not final. I pray for my folks here. I pray that every blasted one of us become everyday heroes. That we're going to find ourselves in situations at school, at home, at work, where we'll have to stand alone for what's right. That we'll have to be different. That we won't be able to conform to the world. That your word would transform our minds so that we would be able to discern what is good and acceptable and mature. But Lord, this week, I pray against fear for my folks. They've been fearful of taking risks. And you've given them gifts. They've been afraid to use them. They've buried them in the ground. I pray that somehow they're motivated this week, that they would take risks in their personal lives, in their business, in spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that they would do it out of love, because love never fails. I love you, Jesus, and in your name I pray. Amen.